Chapter 1. The Rise and Fall of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. The world awakened to the threat of ISIS in the summer of 2014, but that is not where its story begins. What we know today as ISIS emerged from the mind of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, a Jordanian thug-turned-terrorist who brought a particularly brutal and sectarian approach to his understanding of jihad. Many diverse factors contributed to the rise of ISIS, but its roots lie with Zarqawi and the 2003 invasion of Iraq that gave him purpose. Ahmad Fadil Nazal al-Kalela was born in the industrial town of Zarqa, Jordan, located about 15 miles from Amman. He was a Bedouin, born into a large, relatively poor family, but part of a powerful tribe. He was a mediocre student who dropped out of school after ninth grade. Like many jihadists, he took on a nom de guerre based on the place he came from, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. In his hometown, Zarqawi was not known as an especially pious person, but as a heavy drinker, a bully, and a brawler. His biographer reports that those who knew him in Zarqa said he drank like a fish and was covered in tattoos, two practices forbidden by Islam. He was known as the Green Man on account of the tattoos, which he would later try to remove with hydrochloric acid. He was arrested a number of times for shoplifting, drug dealing, and attacking a man with a knife, among other crimes. In his early 20s, he joined Tablighi Jamaat, a South Asian Islamic revivalist organization, in part to cleanse himself from his life of crime. Tablighi Jamaat aims at creating better Muslims through spiritual jihad, good deeds, contemplation, and proselytizing. According to the historian Barbara Metcalf, Tablighi Jamaat traditionally functioned as a self-help group, much like Alcoholics Anonymous, and most specialists claim that it is no more prone to violence than are the Seventh-day Adventists, with whom Tablighi Jamaat is frequently compared. But a member of Tablighi Jamaat told co-author Jessica Stern that jihadi groups were known to openly recruit at the organization's central headquarters in Raiwind, Pakistan. In 1989, just 3 months after joining Tablighi Jamaat, Zarqawi joined the insurgency against the Soviet Union's occupation of Afghanistan, by which time the Soviets were already in withdrawal. The war had left him behind. Zarqawi was not yet a leader or even a fighter. In Afghanistan and over the border in Pakistan, he spent much of his time working on jihadist newsletters. While it might have seemed a humble start for someone who dreamed of battle, his introduction to jihadi media would later turn out to be useful. But that was surely not clear at the time. Zarqawi arrived in Afghanistan as a zero, one of his fellow jihadists told journalist Marianne Weaver, a man with no career, just foundering about. He later trained and eventually fought in some of the most violent battles to emerge from the post-Soviet chaos in Afghanistan, when Afghan factions began fighting one another for control of the country. He found focus and earned a certain respect in the eyes of his peers. The experience changed him. It's not so much what Zarqawi did in the jihad, it's what the jihad did for him, the jihadist said to Weaver. Perhaps most important were the many relationships he forged during this time. The jihadists he recruited or met during this period would one day form the kernel of an international network, and one new friend turned out to be particularly important to Zarqawi's future, Sheikh Abu Muhammad al-Maqdisi, one of the architects of jihadi Salafism, an ideology based on the principle that any government that does not rule through a strict interpretation of Sharia is an infidel regime that must be violently opposed. A fuller description can be found in the appendix. Maqdisi would become Zarqawi's spiritual father and close friend, despite their very different backgrounds. A trained cleric of Palestinian origin who lived in various Arab countries before settling in Jordan, Maqdisi was the bookish fatwa monk. Zarqawi would emerge as the man who would test Maqdisi's theories in real time and in a real war. Both men returned to Jordan in 1993, They were involved in a series of botched terrorist operations, culminating in their arrest for possessing illegal weapons and belonging to a banned jihadi organization. Like Afghanistan, prison was transformative for Zarqawi, according to Nir Rosen, who interviewed many of the jihadists' Jordanian peers. Their time in prison was as important for the movement as their experiences in Afghanistan were, bonding the men who suffered together and giving them time to formulate their ideas. For some, it was educational as well. One experienced jihadi who knew Zarqawi in Afghanistan told me, "When I heard Zarqawi speak, I didn't believe this is the same Zarqawi." But 6 years in jail gave him a good chance to educate himself.